Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's great to have you here with us. If you're a visitor, a special welcome to you. It's great to have you here this morning. And if we invite you to consider making Good Shepherd Lutheran Church your church home here in the Columbia area. I'm Pastor Chris, and it's great to have you all here today. So a few things going on today is that we have, first of all, the blessing of the backpacks. That's the blue insert in your bulletin. This will take place during our children's sermon time, and so we ask anyone who is a student to come forward with their backpacks or without. If you don't have them, that's fine. But during the children's sermon, we'll have a special blessing to start the school year. And at the end of this little litany, we'll have a blessing for all teachers and anyone who is a support staff in the education of others. So please be ready for that when it comes time for the children's sermon. And related to the start of the school year, the Lutheran Campus Ministry for the University of South Carolina, Midlands Tech, Columbia College, and any other Lutheran who's in the area, that is our ministry focus for this month with our social ministry. And so if you would like to make a special donation to the Lutheran Campus Ministry, you can make the checks out to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, but in the memo line, write LCM for Lutheran Campus Ministry. The pink insert is for our welcome breakfast, which is coming up in a few weeks. And so all the women of the congregation are invited to attend that. It's coming up on Saturday morning, September 9th. Next week is our Summer Splash. That's an event for the children and youth to enjoy and adults to watch and have fun as well. It's a time where we have water games for the kids, but also a big water slide here. So that'll be next Sunday at 11:30. So if the kids are planning on getting wet, make sure that you pack appropriately for them. Also, a final announcement is that tomorrow our office will be closing at noon. That's for the eclipse. I am, just for my own personal interest, I'm wondering if we have any visitors today who came into town to watch the eclipse. We usually don't call out visitors. So. All right, we have one. All right, great. All right, a couple of others. Great. I'm glad to have you all here. And I hope that it's a wonderful time for everyone tomorrow as we enjoy the eclipse. That's all the announcements I have for us today. So at this point in time, let us now rise to continue our worship with our confession and forgiveness. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us, as disciples of your Son, to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them, besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 1 to 2a, expanded to include verses 25 to 36. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. So that you may not claim to be wiser than you are, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, out of Zion will come the deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been a counselor to him? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. As the congregation is seated, I invite all my young friends, especially even up to high school who are, or even college, who are planning on going to school, come forward for the blessing of the backpacks, even if you don't have them. And now is also a great time to pass those friendship registers down your pews. We're going to gather around the font today. All right, I see some big backpacks. All right, let's make sure everyone can get close. Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Well, it's great to see everyone here today. Are you excited to go back to school this week? Yeah, or even starting school. Some of you might be starting school for the first time. Callan, are you going to school for the first time? Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, so Jackson, you too? Yeah, all right. Well, school is a wonderful thing, and I want you to know that we as the community of faith here at Good Shepherd, that we support you in all of your learning responsibilities and all the jobs that you'll do at school. Just know that we're going to be praying for you, that we're here to support you, because as you learn in school, know that that's something that Jesus celebrates as well. And so because Jesus celebrates it, we celebrate it too. And so we want you to be blessed, and even your backpacks too. And if you forgot your backpacks today, that's fine. We'll bless them in the distance, so don't worry about that. All right, let us pray. Almighty God, as we get ready to start another year in school, we ask your blessing on these backpacks, and especially on these students who will wear them. Bless them with eagerness to learn, respect for teachers and fellow students, love for creation, happiness when learning is easy, perseverance when learning is hard, and faith in Jesus as their best teacher and their closest friend. We ask you to protect these, your own children. Watch over them and keep them safe throughout each day. Help them to discover the gifts you have given them and guide them with your love. And all God's people say, Amen. All right, now don't go back just yet. At this point, I'm wondering if we have any teachers with us here today in the pews, and if so, would you mind standing? This could be any grade level, even up through adult education, and also any support staff. This is administration, bus drivers, and a whole number of different jobs that help support education in different ways. So, all right, all the kids and youth standing here, will you turn around and look at everyone standing up? Look at all of them. They're all here to support you and other children and youth in different ways. So now we're going to bless them. So will you raise your hand and put a blessing on them as well? Almighty God, as we get ready to start another year in school, we ask your blessing upon all these people who help students to learn and grow. Bless them with wisdom and enthusiasm for the gifts they share, patience and gentleness for the people they serve, love of your presence in their work, happiness when their work is easy, perseverance when learning is hard, and faith in Jesus as their guide every day. We ask you to protect these educators and support staff. Watch over them and keep them safe throughout each day. Help them to share the gifts that you have given them and guide them with your love. And all God's people say, Amen. All right, support staff and teachers, you can sit down. Let's do a final prayer for those of us standing here. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you have already blessed the school year that lies ahead of us. And so we ask now that we will indeed have fun as we go to school, but most especially that we will learn and grow and discover all the wonderful things about this world and all the different subjects that we will learn. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you all. You can go back to your pews now. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One day there was a traveler walking down a lane, and one stretch of this path took him past a rock quarry, where he noticed there were three stonecutters laboring. They each had one large stone that they were shaping with hammer and chisel. The traveler had never even seen a stonecutter before, and he had no idea what kind of work they were doing. So he walked up to the first stonecutter and asked him, "What is it that you are doing?" And the first stonecutter responded, "Can't you see? I'm cutting a stone. Every single day I lug around these stones, hammering at them and working my hands to the bone. I barely make enough to feed myself. This is the most miserable life." Well, that didn't adequately explain the work being done, so the traveler approached the second stonecutter and asked him, "What is it that you are doing?" This stonecutter didn't complain, but he said, "I'm earning a living while trying to be the best stonecutter that I can be. This stone here, I need to make sure that it is perfectly square so that it will fit in a wall. It's difficult, but I make a pretty good living. Upon hearing this, the traveler felt as if he had a better idea of what a stonecutter does, but he looked at the third stonecutter, and his body, it was covered in dust and sweat, but he was also working with a smile on his face. So the traveler asked the third stonecutter, "What is it that you are doing?" "Ah," replied the third stonecutter, "can't you see? I'm building a cathedral." This third stonecutter had a broad vision of the task that lay before him. He was doing the same work as the other two stonecutters, but his attitude toward that work was shaped entirely by the broader vision that he had. The first two stonecutters had varying degrees of lesser vision. Their vision was narrowly focused on only the task at hand, which limited their inspiration and their motivation. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is walking along with his disciples. And to this point in Matthew's gospel, all of his ministry has been focused on the Jewish people. Yet during this walk, Jesus is confronted by a Canaanite woman who pleads with Jesus to help her daughter. And to our surprise, Jesus says no. It is shocking to hear his interaction with this woman. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," is his response to her. "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Much ink has been spilt trying to explain what is happening here. Did Jesus truly believe that his mission was only for Israel? Was he trying to hurt her by equating the woman and her daughter with dogs? Was Jesus simply testing her by pushing her buttons? The questions go on. But no one can ignore or forget her response. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And with that statement, Jesus changes course. Perhaps what has taken place in this conversation was a divine page turn. You see, Jesus' purpose was only, if it were to only heal the sick and suffering people, he would have set up a shop somewhere and hung a "We're open" sign on the door and just stayed right there. But rather, his purpose was to be the Messiah of the Jews. So he had to keep focused on that mission. And Jesus was doing just that, ministering to and among the people of Judah. Yet God the Father may have sent this Canaanite woman to Jesus to be the divine page turn in his mission. Now was the time for Jesus to broaden his vision, to take what was a narrow focus and now expand it to see the broader picture. See, Jesus was doing the work of being the Messiah of Israel, but Israel itself has its own unique purpose. Ever since God's covenant with Abraham, the purpose of Israel was to be the vessel through whom God blesses all the nations. Jesus had been focused on being solely Israel's Messiah, but now God the Father desires for Jesus to turn the page and to expand the vision of his ministry to include the promise, that promise that Israel will be a blessing to all nations. It just took this Canaanite woman to be the sign. She is the sign that now is the time for Jesus to expand a narrow focus of ministry to a much broader vision. In our life as a congregation, I feel that right now there are two things going on around us that we can be narrowly focused on. First, the departure of Pastor Paul last week as he accepted a new call. This was shocking news to most of us. And you may be asking, what will come of us without his leadership? And the second thing that we might be narrowly focused on is the hate that has been displayed in our nation recently. Are those evil voices who spew their hatred at others, are they going to win the day? So much of our focus and attention is on these two matters right now. And much worry and anxiety can be stirred up within us over either of these two events. And we might wonder if our vision on these matters is too narrowly focused. We might wonder if, like the Canaanite woman to Jesus, if there is a sign for us that now is the time to expand our vision of these events. So let's go to God for a sign. Here we go. Okay, God, we're gathered here, and if it's your desire for us to broaden our vision, to see that something is more going on here than just the loss of a pastor, and if your desire is for us to see something more than just the hatred being spewed in our nation, then give us a sign. But make sure it's something that we can all can see. So if you want us to see a broader vision, then how about you do something extraordinary, like disappear the sun or something. We'll settle for that. Amen. All right. We'll see if he answers. Yes, we have lost a pastor, and we know that transition awaits us. Without diminishing the loss that we feel in Pastor Paul's departure, the broader vision is that the ministries of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church are not defined by who stands in this pulpit. The ministries of this church are defined by the work of you, the people. And yes, in our nation, there's a lot of racism being spewed and a lot of fear being spread by ideologies that some people mistakenly thought were dead decades ago. But the broader vision is that this world needs the light of Christ to shine on that darkness. And you, as Christians, you were given that light in baptism. Now is no time for Christians to sit on their haunches and expect the world to magically become a better place. Martin Luther once said, "God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does." Each Christian ought to live, speak, act, hear, suffer, and die in love and service for another. Now is the time for you to be the light of Christ to your neighbor, to your nation, and to this world. Now is also the time to see yourself as the embodiment of the ministries of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. The ministries of this church were never meant to be carried solely by Pastor Paul, or by me, or by any other pastor. The work of the church is carried by us all. I have seen many of you carry these ministries, but I also see the potential in many of you to help carry the load and to advance it. There's no reason why the ministries cannot grow during a time of pastoral transition. And I hope that you will share with me that broader vision for Good Shepherd. It is easy to be narrowly focused on the events at hand, and it's harder to see the broader vision of what is taking place, God taking place in our lives. You know, for millennia, people have often looked at solar eclipses with fear and trepidation. They looked up and all that they could see was the sun being consumed. But we need not fear an eclipse. It is a marvel in the sky, yet there are plenty of other marvels taking a place if we broaden our focus. Some flowers will start to close during the eclipse. Birds will return to their nests. The temperature will drop and clouds may even disperse. In every direction you look during a total solar eclipse, the horizon will look like a sunset. The advice that I've heard is don't try to capture the event with a normal camera. Professionals will post theirs online for you to view later. Rather, use your camera to record the people around you, because you will capture the awe and wonder that is in their faces. Whether the event is the moon passing in front of the sun, or the pastor taking a new call, or the news erupting in our nation, don't be so narrowly focused on just those events. God offers us a broader vision. It is a broader vision that pulls us out of ourselves and our own concerns. It is a broader vision that invites us to see something more. For an eclipse, God's broader vision allows us to see that we are part of a big, glorious, and beautiful universe that rejoices before God. For a nation coping with hate inside of its borders, God's broader vision calls us upon to be Christians, to shine the light of Christ's selfish love so that hate-filled ideologies will not win this day. And for us as a congregation, wrapping our minds around the leaving of a pastor, God's broader vision tells us that the ministries here can prosper and even grow. God is the creator. God is the redeemer, and God is the sanctifier. And as each of those, God has a vision for this world. And we might not grasp that broad vision of God's, but God's desire for us is to join in and to celebrate in this vision that includes you, that includes me, that includes all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us join together in declaring our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, kneeling or seated as you are able. We pray for the church. Keep us steadfast in your word. Shape us according to your will. Heal our divisions. Protect us from discord. Unite us in your love. Empower us for mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth, for forests and vineyards, marshes and springs, for grasslands and pastures, farmlands and orchards. Protect your creation from damage by earthquake, flood, wind, drought, fire, hail, or misuse. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations, for those who govern and all who hold authority, for those who have been displaced by warfare, economic hardship, or disaster. Bring freedom, justice, and stability to areas of conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for those who are anxious, for those who suffer abuse or neglect, for those who are hungry or homeless, for those who grieve and all who are sick, especially those we name before you now on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For this assembly, deepen our lives of prayer. Open us to the guiding of your Spirit. Fill us with compassion. Nourish us at your holy table. Strengthen us in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially our loved ones and those who have given their lives in service. Inspire us by their example and bring us to your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You bring light from darkness, life from death, speech from silence. We praise you for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in this Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." In this feast, let us remember the one in whom we have hope, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
May the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.